Wham! Bam! Body slam! You're listening to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, right here on JitteryMonkey.com. Now here's your host, Kevin Huntsberger. Everyone, welcome once again to another episode of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. Today, Chad and I are going to be talking about WrestleMania. Of course, we are just literally days away now from the big event, and Chad, how are you feeling about this? Because for the first time since WrestleMania 23, this is the first time we have not been in attendance for a WrestleMania event. So since 2007, we've been to every WrestleMania since then. What are your thoughts right now? Yeah, you know what, though? I mean, and I think that this, and the objective of this podcast is to not bash the card or the WWE because it hasn't happened yet, but we're going to kind of run down and give our opinions on it, and that's what the whole point of the My 1-2-3 Cents blog and podcast are, is to kind of share our opinions and our points of view on things. You know, I would argue that WrestleMania hasn't really felt like WrestleMania since a long time. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, when they introduced the 12 pay-per-view concept back, gosh, probably almost 20 years ago now, I feel like that kind of watered WrestleMania. And then when you throw in weekly TV, you know, now you have a 3-hour Raw, it's hard to keep things fresh and interesting. And I was going through the card and I'm like, you know, some of these matches we've seen before, like Cena and Rusev and Randy Orton and Seth Rollins, but there are some new elements to it, and I think that I'm going to remain optimistic that we will have a few WrestleMania moments along the way. You think that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's, I think it has the potential to live up to the height of WrestleMania. I just think the execution and getting there is the weak part. But yeah. I agree with you that with 12 pay-per-views, especially when, you know, at the last pay-per-view, we already saw Cena Rusev. So seeing them again at WrestleMania, it takes some of that luster away. Instead of really hyping and building up to a match, it's just, okay, here's what you've been seeing for the last 5-6 weeks. And also, if it goes back to the new booking philosophy of putting the guys that are fighting into a match against each other on a weekly basis, instead of the old, you know, we're old school fans, so back in the day you would have the squash matches, and then after the match the guy, the star would, you know, kind of get on the mic and build, hype the match against his opponent that you're building up to. It wasn't Ric Flair and Hurt and Dusty Rhodes facing off week after week, and then building up to the match at Starrcade.
Right.
You know, Hogan and Andre didn't, before WrestleMania 3, they had one interaction in a battle royal and Saturday night's main event. So when we got together at WrestleMania 3, you wanted to see what was going to happen. Now you look at the weekly television, and how many times have the Intercontinental title match fought each other? How many times has, and Seth Rollins everyone's fought each other, building up to their big match at WrestleMania.
Right. Yeah, and without any further ado, let's talk a little bit about each match and then kind of throw out our prediction of who we think will win in the pre-show. And, you know, to me nowadays, since there is the WWE Network, it used to bother me when a championship match was just a pre-show match, but now all the fans have the same access to that pre-show match, so it doesn't bother me like it used to, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. But this year, it's going to be the Tag Team Championship match. It's a four-way, at least as of right now, a four-way between the champions, of course, Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, defending against The New Day, Los Matadors, and The Usos. But, and I apologize, I think it's Jey Uso is apparently injured right now, and there's some speculation that he will not be able to compete at WrestleMania. But not that withstanding, of course, we're kind of locked into that same three or four or five different tag teams that are kind of going back and forth all the time, and not a whole lot of change in the tag team scene here, but I do like Cesaro and Kidd as the champions, and I hope that the WWE kind of stays behind them for a little bit at least before they split them up and have them feud, which is probably inevitable with tag team wrestling these days, but I look for them to walk out as still the tag team champions.
No, definitely. I mean, when was the last time Los Matadors were in a meaningful feud? And The New Day has not, unless WWE wanted to put titles on The New Day to try to maybe give them some pictures behind them, the fans haven't really caught on because The New Day hasn't been presented as anything but, oh, here's just, you know, here's a repackaged Kofi, Big E, and that guy Xavier Woods who would show up every so often. And then the Usos, you know, they're kind of like the Kofi Kingston of the tag team scene. They've been around for a few years, but they have no character developed. And Jay's injury, depending on how severe it is, I think a multi-team match, he could be hidden kind of midway, maybe do, you know, one or two moves just to get the Usos into the match.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Cesaro and Kidd are, you know, they're a team that they can, WWE can really get behind if they're serious about tag team wrestling. And I'm kind of surprised that Los Matadors got the match above the Ascension, who have kind of fallen by the wayside. And that's a whole other topic for just bringing guys up from NXT and not really knowing what to do with them. But yeah, I think Cesaro and Kidd just recently won the title. I don't see any reason to take the titles off of them just yet. And unfortunately, I think when they do the eventual breakup, it's not going to be a Tyson Kidd Cesaro feud we're going to get. It's going to be a Tyson Kidd Natalya feud.
Mm. That, yeah, that makes sense.
I am a total diva, which, yeah.
Next on the card is, we're just speculating, we don't know how the order of the matches are going to go, obviously, but next up that I have on the list is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and we were talking before the show, we're not sure, I haven't seen anywhere official whether it's 20 participants or 30 participants. Right now, WWE has 17 listed on their website, but that was updated last several days ago, so I would imagine more names will get added, and we do know that at least one NXT star will be a part of that after a tournament at WrestleMania Access over the weekend. We'll get his name thrown into that Battle Royal as well. I'm not going to bore you with all the details of everyone who's in there. Some big names in there, though. Kane, The Big Show, The Miz, depending on how big a name you think he is. I think that, and we were talking about this earlier too, I think that a surprise entrant in Sheamus is going to be a part of it, and that's going to be my pick to win it is Sheamus.
Yeah, I would agree. If Sheamus is in the match, I would expect him to try to get him some momentum coming back. If Sheamus isn't there, this is a real crapshoot for who, you know, I mean, last year's is number one, which is kind of a shock. I don't think anybody would have picked it before the match. And this is really really more, I mean, it's called the 100 Battle Royal, but it's really the Jobber to the Stars Battle Royal. There, you know, I mean, yes, you have Big Show and Kane and Miz in there, but the rest of that field is pretty much a who's who of guys that barely get TV time.
Right.
I would actually go out on a limb and say whichever NXT star gets put in will win, thus catapulting them up to the main roster and giving them some that momentum coming into Raw. In which case, I guess based on rumor speculation, I'm going to guess it's going to be Adrian Neville.
That's what I was thinking too, just based on the fact that it again, if Sheamus isn't a part of it. But to me, I feel like, you know, last year, I guess, was the experiment with the Battle Royal. Cesaro won, and for, a minute or two, it looked like they were going to do something with him immediately afterward, but then he kind of fell by the wayside. If you are right in picking that Neville wins, or any of the NXT guys win, I really hope that there is some sort of plan in place, because as we've seen with the Ascension here lately, coming up from NXT is not necessarily a good thing for the future of these guys in some cases.
Yeah, hopefully there is long-term planning in place, which, given the track record and my cynicism, I don't see happening, but hopefully there is something in store. And it's not just this is a way to get everybody onto the show and then pretend it didn't happen the night after WrestleMania.
Right. I agree. It's a pretty sweet trophy, too. And I think, didn't Jack Swagger destroy it on Raw the next night last year after Cesaro won it? And he split up with Zeb Coulter. The next match that I have written down is the other multi-man match, which actually I think is maybe the one that steals the show. Yeah, is the ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. All these guys in it, with the exception, of R-Truth, I don't mind seeing them win, and I'm not picking on R-Truth, but I don't feel like the company has done anything with him up until now, when all of a sudden he got a non-title win over Bad News Barrett, and now all of a sudden he's in contention. So it seemed like he was just nowhere, and now all of a sudden he's there, with not really any big explanation. But anyway, Daniel Bryan, Stardust, Dolph Ziggler, and Luke Harper, as well as Dean Ambrose, joining Bad News Barrett and R-Truth in this ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. And I know a lot of people have been critical of WWE that Daniel Bryan is a part of this, because of his status last year being in the main event, and where he's been, you know, since then, of course, being injured, and now many people feeling he got screwed over at the Royal Rumble, and now he's not a part of this main event for the championship, the WWE Championship, but Intercontinental title is second best. I don't look at it like that. I look at this as an opportunity to raise the value of the Intercontinental Championship again, because for so long it's been one of those. It's been hot potatoed so much. It's been forgotten about. It hasn't been defended at WrestleMania. It's been put, you know, I feel like this year the spotlight is focused on it. We did a whole podcast on this, so I'm not going to go too much more into it. But my pick, just for bringing some prestige back to the championship and not a step back for him in his career, is going to be for Daniel Bryan to win this and then use this to propel him back up to that main event level.
Yeah, I can see that. My hesitation with this match is I think these guys are going to go out and try to have match of the night. I mean, every wrestler should try to do it. But you see how well Ziggler pumps. You know, Daniel Bryan, even with his injuries, hasn't really toned himself down too much.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Ambrose, you know, has a history before WWE of death matches. Crazy matches, and his character is, you know, the psychopath. I can see a lot of unnecessary risk taken in this match, which is something that I'm kind of not I you know, it's weird that wrestling is a sport in which people are trying to hurt each other. I don't want to see these people actually get hurt.
Right, that makes sense.
So when they pick these, you know, 20-foot balls off the ladder through people's heads,
You know, I do want to talk to you later at another point about the Luke Harper character. That something just crossed my mind with him, but we'll save that for another show or a blog over at my123cents.com. But next up, and I know that you're excited about this match, Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins. And I don't think there's any kind. This is obviously a grudge match. One former member now of the. Oh my gosh, the Authority. I couldn't remember. I was going to say the Alliance, and I'm like, it's not the Alliance. You know, I think this match, I think we've seen it before, perhaps. Wasn't it just the other night on Raw, actually, wasn't it? I've been sporadic with my Raw viewing, and I apologize for that.
Yeah, I believe they. I don't know if they actually. I didn't watch the end of Raw. I know that they were supposed to have a match, and here at Raw made it look like the Authority had abandoned Rollins. And then at the end, the Alliance kicker, the Authority came out and surrounded the ring, and then Sting showed up. So I don't know how much of a match they actually had.
Mm-hmm. So pick a winner here.
My gut would say, or my common sense would say, you go with Rollins if he's your new face in the company. And I think we're at a point in WWE, where it is time to start transitioning to that next generation. A loss is not going to hurt Randy Orton. Randy Orton as a face really isn't a compelling character. Not that a heel Randy Orton is much more compelling to me, but Randy Orton just oozes douchebag. So I don't know why they, you know, making him a face. But Rollins, he's your Money in the Bank winner. He's your, you know, you've been touting him as face of the company. Have him go over to kind of help elevate him, especially after his match at Royal Rumble. You know, he's on the upward swing. Unless, in some case, you know, for some reason, he loses this match and then cashes in Money in the Bank later. I could see that happening. But I think common sense would dictate a Rollins victory.
Yeah. For all the reasons you said, and I don't need to rehash what you said, I agree 100%. There's no reason for Randy Orton to win here, and it would not make him look bad in losing. And I like the idea that you said of, you know, now is the time to kind of pull the trigger on the quote-unquote new generation or next generation, and I think there's a lot of potential here, especially going back to the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. If that NXT guy does win it, and then having Seth Rollins be an established guy like Randy Orton, and when we get to the main event, talking more about Roman Reigns and his role, I think the time is now, and this may be that WrestleMania where we kind of see that shift in new generation versus guys, and Randy Orton's not old by any means, but he's been around for more than a decade. John Cena's been around for more than a decade, and so now is the time. And there's a lot of matches. Now I'm looking at this card. There are a lot of matches where that opportunity is there. So hopefully WWE capitalizes on that. Next up on my list is the Bellas against Paige and AJ Lee. My opinion of the Bellas is not very high, not because of their ability in the ring. I just find their characters annoying, and I think that's probably the point. They're heels now, but I didn't like them as faces either. They're just two characters that I've never embraced or gotten behind. So, I don't know who to pick here to win because I don't know exactly where they're going with the Divas division. My gut tells me that the Bellas will win, but my gut also says that this may be the match that ends up getting bumped off the card if they go over like they did a few years ago when it was the Funkadactyls and Brodus Clay and, Tons of Funk against Road Scholars and the Bellas. So this match, to me, they've done a good job building up to it, but I'm not, I could give or take it, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I haven't been following that closely, so I don't really know what the story is here. I'm disappointed that it's not a straight-up Divas title match, which I think could have been, you keep the same four participants, but just make it with a title. That way you can kind of tease a Bella descent in, which still trying to figure out why Brie is with Nikki after last summer, that whole Brie versus Nikki feud. This one could really go. I see the Bellas winning. Maybe then there's dissension between AJ and Paige, which leads to them feuding again. I'm with you. I don't really know where this is going or what. This is a match that's just kind of there, in my opinion, and that's
I'd love to see Charlotte show up and lay them all out, quite honestly, at the end.
Yeah,
but
I was going to say, it's so amazing, the difference in the way the Divas are presented and accepted by fans between WWE and NXT. And I think if NXT Divas like Charlotte or Sasha Banks, or if when these newer Divas come up, then really, where are the Bellas, where are the Fox, where's the Minute, whoever else is still there, where do they fit in with these Divas that can have good, solid, 10-minute, 15-minute matches?
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other topic. That's why I'm just going to go on a limb and say Bellas win because John Cena.
Yeah. Well, speaking of John Cena, that's going to transition into our next match, which is Rusev versus John Cena for the United States Championship. And before we dig into the match here, it's always fun, and I'm air quoting the word fun here, watching fans on social media, because there are so many different opinions, and that's a good thing, obviously, but someone had tweeted the other day, and I didn't respond because I typically do not respond to those kinds of tweets, but somebody said the only way to bring prestige back to the Intercontinental Championship is to put it on Daniel Bryan, and the only way to bring prestige back to the United States Championship is to put it on John Cena, which obviously I emphatically disagree with. I like John Cena the person. John Cena the performer is fine in the ring for me. I'm indifferent to him. I sometimes think his character is a little over the top and sophomoric in his behavior, but the man behind the character, obviously a class act, and I can't say enough nice things about John Cena, the man. John Cena, the WWE superstar, again, I don't dislike him, he's not my favorite, I'm indifferent. But we talked about this new guard versus the old guard, and I know it's not going to happen, but Rusev has to win here. He, in my opinion, he needs to walk out as the United States champion. He needs to walk out of there undefeated. It is crucial to his character, I think, because they've spent nearly a year. I think he showed up the Raw after WrestleMania. For the last year, then, was wasted to have him lose to a guy who has been the established top guy for the last decade. I just think that that's a bad decision, in my opinion, of unless they're going to do something monumental with Rusev after that and put him into a world championship program. But I don't see that happening either. I see him being forgotten and falling by the wayside. And I can't say it enough. Rusev should win, but I think my gut tells me that John Cena is going to win just because there are so many people with that mentality of John Cena is the man to reestablish the United States Championship.
Well, and because John Cena lost at Fastlane, mm-hmm. so he had to win this match, otherwise he will look weak. So say Vince McMahon, apparently.
But we learned we learned on that same note, which I was surprised by this. The one thing we did learn was when the Shield and Evolution were feuding last year, and Evolution picked up the Shield picked up that first one, and then I assumed the next pay per view it would be Evolution, but that didn't happen. So maybe Rusev will win, but I Cena is so still up there on the top. I can't imagine him not losing or not winning.
Yeah, and this goes back to what we were saying at the start of this podcast with the 12 pay-per-views. Like, have it held off and really built up Cena and this being the first meeting, I think it would have meant more. But because we've already seen Rusev win, the achievements, you're like, oh, okay, well, he's already beat Cena before, so it's not that impressive. And at the same time, the other side is, well, Rusev won the last one. It's John Cena. John Cena has to win. There's no real emotional investment. It's no, like, okay, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next? It's just, and that's maybe the snarkiness of the internet wrestling community being like, oh, well, this is how they blow it. And it's whoever, you know, on Raw on Monday, whoever is left standing when these two face off before WrestleMania, then the guy that got beat up will be the one that wins. It's just like WWE's typical booking philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, but I agree with you. Rusev should win. This is another match, much like the Rollins Orton match, where your new generation should stake their claim into the theater of WWE. John Cena having the U.S. title, it's not going to add prestige to the title. It's not going to do anything, in my opinion. But I think Rusev, I know this is not going to happen unless something crazy is going on behind the scenes. But the way Rusev is getting over, the way that he's been dominant, I would say keep him undefeated. Maybe until the next WrestleMania and then have him challenge for the title, depending on, you know, who's champion, what's going on. But or even keep him strong and have him face Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Like, I think there are ways that you've got this new character who is getting, presented unlike a lot of wrestlers have been presented over the last few years. Like, keep that momentum going. Unfortunately, I think John Cena will just come down, hit Rusev in the head with his baseball cap, and pin him.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, I mean, and I kind of wish that, and to me this isn't about the U.S. Championship, like we said, this is about Rusev remaining undefeated and remaining strong and them actually getting behind some of this newer, younger talent and really making that commitment to having them as a part of that next generation. Because a year from now, you know, if John Cena loses this match a year from now, it's not going to matter to anyone. But I think it'll be detrimental to... Right. I think it'll be detrimental to Rusev's career. They need to show that Rusev can play with the big boys. And a victory over John Cena would certainly do that.
And I'll throw in real quick just to... this is going to be a topic for the next podcast, but WWE right now is very much, in my opinion, where WCW was back around 1999-2000, where you've got this group of young talent that's coming up, but they're not willing to elevate them, and they want to keep the status quo as it is. So I'll just throw that out. That's another topic. Let's keep on.
Sure. Sure, and so the next match is The Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt, which I think we've talked about this before. This should have been, or they should have either had Undertaker beat Brock Lesnar last year and then have this match this year, or this should have been last year's Undertaker matchup, because, and I do think that having Brock beat Undertaker, obviously, was a good thing for establishing Brock as this monster, and it worked in that terms. But to me, it was like, okay, we've got this loss for The Undertaker. Now, what does that mean? Does he continue to come back to WrestleMania? And does the streak matter anymore? And if a guy beats him now, does that hurt The Undertaker's legacy? And if The Undertaker beats whomever he faces, does that then affect that man's career? And obviously, in this case, and in my opinion, Undertaker beating Bray Wyatt will do more to hurt Bray Wyatt than I think Bray Wyatt beating The Undertaker at this point. That being said... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is definitely a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
I agree with you that if Bray doesn't want to do the streak and really put... I mean, let's be honest. Undertaker should retire. He's coming back for one match a year. I know the fans, you know, still get a... get excited to see The Undertaker, but fans also get excited when Hulk Hogan comes out. That doesn't mean Hulk Hogan should be fighting. Undertaker, his time is done. The matches at WrestleMania, at least in my opinion, have not been that exciting since the first Shawn Michaels, because they've fallen into that trap of being the same formula. I think Bray would have beaten The Undertaker, and kind of The Undertaker kind of passed on the mystical powers of The Undertaker, in a sense that then Bray Wyatt could be your new generation type Undertaker character, which, you know, may not actually pan out, but at least it's, I think it would have been more meaningful than Brock beating Taker.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, okay, if Taker loses this year, then he goes 21-2. So then is he like that, you know, that boxer who has this great career and then just starts losing every match he's in? And then, like, okay, well, why does he keep fighting if he's just going to keep losing? And I think Bray was already hurt by losing to John Cena last year, because that kind of stalled his momentum. And if he loses to Undertaker this year, which Bray's already said, Undertaker is a guy with one foot in the grave already. So now Bray can't beat a broken down old has-been. Like, this match really, I question why it's even happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to pick Bray Wyatt because, again, Bray needs the victory more than Taker.
I agree with you. I think that Bray Wyatt should win. I wonder, though, if this is Taker's last hurrah, will they not give him the win and then he goes out on top? I think last year would have been a perfect way to wrap up The Undertaker's career, but I've also heard speculation that they're going to do that next year in Dallas, which is, contrary to popular belief, Undertaker is not from Death Valley. He is originally from Texas, so... I've heard speculation of them ending everything there. So I don't know. I would say that this has been the hardest match for me to predict the winner for, just because there's so much, I don't want to say so much at stake, but there is a lot at stake for Bray Wyatt. And for that reason, I do hope that Bray Wyatt wins. And then bring Undertaker back next year and have him go out on top. But, you know, since the streak is now over, we've never seen anything like this. I mean, Chad, I was a senior in high school when the streak started. You were a junior in high school. I mean,
yeah.
It blows my mind to sit here and think about everything, and I've written a blog about it over at my123cents.com. How many things have changed and evolved, and you know where we were, not only as wrestling fans, but just in general, when the Undertaker streak started in 1991. Some of these listeners weren't even born at that point, so it just blows my mind that the longevity, and for that, sure, there's a sentimental reason there for the Undertaker, but for the future and to see this company continue to grow and develop new guys, you know, just like I think Seth Rollins needs to beat Randy Orton and Rusev needs to beat John Cena, I think Bray Wyatt needs to beat The Undertaker too. But I also know that we're not going to get all the new guys going over all the established guys on the same night. So there's going to be some give and take, and but my hope is that Bray Wyatt also is victorious at WrestleMania. And kind of on the opposite end of that spectrum, two established guys in Sting and Triple H will be facing off. And Chad, you've had some interesting tweets and comments on this match, and I have not disagreed with what you've had to say. So go ahead and explain to our listeners kind of your thoughts on the build-up for this particular match.
My build-up is quite simple. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I understand the story they're trying to tell. If this was 2002, 18 years after WCW goes out of business, Sting all of a sudden shows up and says, oh, hey, you know, I'm kind of upset that you shut down the company that I worked for, and I'm taking a sense that you're covered grass and you're, you know, everything. Triple H, I want to stop you from abusing your power. I just don't understand the story. And we've talked about this before Sting showed up, that if Sting were to show up in WWE and make his debut at WrestleMania, who do you put him up against? Because, you know, the speculation for the longest time was Sting versus Undertaker, but the streak is still intact. And it's like, okay, well, these guys fight, and either Sting wins, defeating the Undertaker, you know, ending the streak, which, you know, Sting gets, you know, Sting doesn't get really anything from ending the streak because he's already an established star. Sting shows up at WrestleMania, makes his debut, and gets beat, which then just kind of shows that Sting is just another WCW respect who can't cut it in WWE. And so I think his Triple H is probably the best scenario that they could have come up with, because despite all of Triple H's flaws, when you look at his WrestleMania record, he is pretty good about putting people over. And so I think if Sting's going to come in, Sting needs to win this match. Otherwise, what's the point of bringing him in? But this is the best idea they can come up with. Like, you know, you could have Sting just come in and, you know, say, hey, this is WWE. This is the pinnacle of wrestling. I want to prove myself on the biggest stage. I just don't get the fighting over WCW's death.
Let me ask you this, and I agree with everything that you've said, so there has been speculation, and again, I hate speculating, but it's out there, so let's talk about it. Next year in Dallas, 100,000 fans at AT&T Stadium, Undertaker's last ride is against Sting in a career versus career. Both men retire when it's all said and done, but it's also that final end to the Monday Night Wars. You know, the Undertaker was kind of that, even though he did work for WCW for a time, he was WWE's franchise player. And yeah. Sting, the same role, obviously. He was WCW's franchise player. Do you have any desire in a match like that with those kinds of stipulations, because we are still rehashing something that will now then be 15 years in the making?
If it was a career versus career-ending match where this is them going out, And Sting has already wrestled at WrestleMania. I don't think I would have a problem with it because it would be kind of a bookend. And it would put two guys in a ring against each other and flip taking, putting them in against guys who, you know, are going to, are coming up. I'm trying to phrase this properly. It wouldn't have an impact on the future of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be okay with that match happening next year. I just don't think it should have been Sting's first match in WWE.
Sure. Now, let me ask you this, because we've talked before about, you know, guys, this old school versus new school, or however you want to call it. Would you have rather seen Sting making his WrestleMania debut against a Dolph Ziggler or a Dean Ambrose or a Seth Rollins, for example, and then Triple H going in there against another one of these up-and-coming talents? Or do you think that this match, for who the WWE has to offer right now, Sting versus Triple H is probably their best option for this year's WrestleMania?
Yeah, I think depending on how long Sting is going to be around, which is, you know, we can speculate again that the rumors are he's only signed through WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, haven't they Triple H? Because much like the proposed Undertaker match next year, this really isn't going to hinder any of the current or future stars. It's mm-hmm. just two established guys going in there, having their match, and then we get back to normal WWE. I just wonder what the fallout is going to be. If Sting beats Triple H, then what, I mean, does WWE Raw become WCW Raw on Monday night? If Triple H beats Sting, what, yeah, this is a match, I guess, that you have to look at without a story context would be better.
Yeah.
It's just WCW's top guy, the self-proclaimed WWE's top guy, and this is, you know, like anybody who's watched the wrestling video, this is, I think, Triple H being like, no, look at me, I'm WWE. I think this is the best case scenario for Sting to make his debut.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if he stuck around and was here, and then you could have him feud with some of this newer talent. But, I've watched Sting in TNA for the last 12 years, and I think he did a decent job, given that it's TNA, and it's TNA. But Sting just turning 56 years old, I believe, either last week or the week before. He's a spring chicken.
Yeah.
And you know, my mindset that the Attitude Era, while good for its time, ended 14 years ago. It's time to move on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not going to lie. The one reason I would want to go to WrestleMania this year is to see Sting make his WWE debut. But I really don't see the purpose of the game much beyond that.
Yeah.
It's not a take away from Sting. It's just...
Right.
Again, the guy's 56 years old.
This match would have been... You know, when you know, WrestleMania 17, when many people call the best WrestleMania of all time, this match would have been perfect then, but Hunter was hurt at WrestleMania 17, I believe. Or no, did he wrestle The Undertaker at WrestleMania 17?
He wrestled Undertaker 17. Yeah.
That's right. He got hurt slightly after that, though, and then Sting, of course, did not sign at the time with Vince McMahon. So, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, but that match would have been more meaningful, obviously, back then. But I know fans have waited for 14 years now for this opportunity to come, and they're finally going to get Sting in a WWE ring. So, you know, I won't say much critical of that because of that fact. And, you know, even if he is a 56-year-old guy in there, I think he'll do a fine job, and it'll be interesting to see what is the next chapter for Sting, and then, of course, the fallout with Triple H if Triple H does, in fact, end up losing this, which I would speculate that he will lose. WWE is going to be the winner either way, though, because they've got Sting masks and T-shirts and DVDs to sell now and a new generation to target.
Doesn't exist.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. What we are assuming will be the main event is, of course, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. And this match has gotten, in my opinion, some unfair criticism. I do like Roman Reigns. I don't necessarily think that he's still ready for this role that he's kind of been put into. He has improved and he will continue to improve, but I think the fans, this generation of fans, and I think it's society in general, we want instant gratification and we want to see, you know, the result now, and we want this, which was evidenced when Daniel Bryan went through his thing and everybody was all losing their minds over it. But anyway, Brock Lesnar defends against Roman Reigns, and there's all kinds of rumors and speculation if Brock Lesnar's coming back, if he's going back to UFC, you know, what his future holds, and all kinds of speculation. And then, of course, Seth Rollins is the wild card there with the Money in the Bank briefcase. You know, will he cash it in at WrestleMania? There's been people buzzing about that as well. So in this main event, Chad, or suspected main event, Roman Reigns, will he reach the top of the mountain against Brock Lesnar and walk out as WWE World Heavyweight Champion?
My gut says yes. My brain says no. Mm-hmm. I kind of look at this kind of like Shawn Michaels' title match at WrestleMania 11, where I think losing that match will probably do better for Roman in the long term, where he can kind of, you know, put him in that situation, he loses, and then he vows to get back and win the title. And it's kind of, you look at Rocky, you know, the original Rocky lost to help prepare him for that Roman the same place where he just, and maybe it's my view on Roman Reigns. I don't think he's ready for the title. I actually think he would be more comparable to when Diesel won the title. Strapped the title directly to him and said, go for it. And fans are like, maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know what Brock's status is. I do think if he and WWE come to an agreement to come around, which I think would be the wisest decision on both parts, maybe either let him do UFC on the side. But I agree, if they sign Brock to stick around, I would, if I were WWE, kind of slip it to the news sheets or the dirt sheets this week, that Brock will be leaving after WrestleMania, and have him retain the title, because I think that would be more, the reaction to that would be much more bewilderment as to, wait, if Brock's leaving, why is he still the title? Granted, it kind of plays back into the summer of Punk, when Punk's contract was up and he won the title and then was gone for like a week. But I think payment come out and just keep promoting Brock while he's on his sabbatical again, and you build it up. Right now, Brock Lesnar is their saving grace in WWE. I think he has that perfect aura of just monster. He comes in sporadically and kills people, and I think that is, while I don't like the fact that Brock doesn't defend the title every 30 days, I like the fact that the champion is not on TV every week, because it builds interest in the champion. You know, when he has a match, you won't see it, because it's not a scene to get week out.
That's a formula, though. Would you say that's a formula that only works with a guy like Brock Lesnar because he is an attraction, I don't think you could go that long of time with, say, Roman Reigns or even John Cena as the champion without having them appear on TV, or is the champion oversaturating the TV now, do you think?
I think it depends on the champion. I think if you had somebody, like Seth, say if Seth Rollins becomes champion, then he can stay off from wrestling on TV and play a smug, you know, and do something. Look, oh, you want to see me? No, I'm not fighting for free on Raw. I'm fighting for $9.99 once a month.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay to see me. Cena, I think this is part of a problem that, you know, goes back to where when you have a champion on week after week and he's fighting week after week, it becomes interest in any potential match because, well, we're already seeing. And we had this discussion, you know, on our Facebook page a few weeks ago, comparing it to Hogan. When Hogan was around, was champion, you rarely saw him fight. And granted, times were different back then. You just had a syndicated show. You didn't have the hours of Raw. But I think, and there's nothing that says if that whoever is the champion can't wrestle after Raw in a dark match to give the fans and attendance, you know, that what they wanted to see. But just the presentation on television is what is the bigger issue. So I think whoever wins the title, I shouldn't wrestle on TV.
My opinion. So okay, go out on a limb here then, and tell me who's going to walk out on March 29th as WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
I'm going with Brock Lesnar. I don't see Reigns. I don't see Rollins cashing in, and I just don't. Reigns just isn't there yet. I think putting the title on him would be more of a hindrance to him than benefit. And I think Brock should keep the title through SummerSlam.
I don't disagree with you, but I just
but it all depends on the backstage team.
Sure, exactly. And that's the thing. We don't know what's going on backstage, which is a good thing. We don't need to know as fans what's going on. It does make it harder to speculate and predict winners, but there's nothing at stake here. So, you know what? Just to be different from what you've said, I'm going to go with Roman Reigns. And I agree, though. I don't think he's ready. But I do think this then sets up for... I see Rollins cashing in and getting a win over Roman Reigns more likely than I do Brock Lesnar. So, and there's been speculation that, you know, again, I hate that word and I hate even bringing it up, but, you know, WrestleMania 32, there's already talk of a Brock Lesnar versus Rock match at WrestleMania 32. So, you know, does Rocky cost Brock Lesnar the championship to help his cousin win, and will that rub help Roman Reigns in the long run? I don't know. And again, that's total speculation. I don't know that would even happen. But for some reason, I could also see Paul Heyman, you know, pulling the switcheroo and we turn Roman Reigns heel. But then, you know, when does Seth Rollins cash in? There's a lot of what ifs here. And I honestly, for the first time in a long time, I've been baffled by the winner of the main event at WrestleMania, and I kind of like it. Just to be different from you, I am going to go with Roman Reigns, although I would like to see Lesnar retain and them work with still developing and building Roman Reigns up, because I do like the guy, and I think that he will be a top-tier player here down in the long run.
I want to say, I have nothing against Reigns. I think he has a future that is probably going to be very bright in WWE. This is just not his time at WrestleMania 31.
All right. Well, with that being said, I think we've picked we've talked about every match on the card. Chad, is there anything else you want to plug or talk about or say before we wrap things up today?
I'm going to throw real quick. I think this is an interesting pay-per-view in the aspect of location. Talking about Undertaker earlier, you know, Undertaker usually has this very dark, semi-creepy entrance that he's going to, you know, Wyatt always has the lights turned out and the cell phones up. That's something that's taking place in California.
Buddy, you're going out on me here. Try that again.
The sun will still be up before the show is over. So the entrances of Undertaker and Bray Wyatt, I'm curious to see what they do, since they won't be able to do their normal turn off the lights type entrance. And then for fans going to WrestleMania, don't make any plans afterwards, because you will be stuck at the Vegetarium for a good, probably 2 to 3 hours, because the public transportation there is horrible.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of glad we're not going to be there then. We could sit in traffic and record a podcast, I guess. And I haven't talked to you about this, but I'm assuming we will connect next Sunday night after the show. I have taken the day off work on Monday, so I can stay up past my bedtime. And we'll record a reactionary piece. And we want to hear from you guys as well by heading on over to Facebook and following us there, facebook.com/my123cents, or letting us know at my123cents on Twitter. But, Chad, I appreciate your advice for fans who are going to be there and dealing with the traffic.
Yeah, after being there, you know, a couple weeks ago for the NHL Stadium Series game, actually it was one of the things that made me glad that I was coming back to WrestleMania, because I think there will be more fans for WrestleMania than there were for a hockey game.
I would guess that you are right. Well, fans, thanks again so much for downloading this podcast, sharing it with those of your wrestling fans in your life. And Chad and I will be back next week with a WrestleMania recap. Enjoy the show, and be sure to let us know what you think. You can also check us out at my123cents.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.